Thanks Radio's update with Christian Jones.
Five o'clock, Thursday the 12th of March. Thanks to Chris Quirk for the past couple of hours. I'm Christian Jones and welcome along to Update. 30 minutes of all the latest news, sport and travel compiled from the resources of Manx Radio's newsroom. On the way tonight, a Manx woman living with severe endometriosis for nearly two decades says she spent her life savings on private surgery after struggling to get answers. We'll hear from the leader of Douglas Council as some local authorities decide whether to introduce a new 1% charge to help fund social housing projects. And a teenage mental health champion explains how caring for snakes has improved his well-being. As always, drop me a message if you want to say hello. Text WhatsApp to 166 177, email studio@manxradio.com. But first, as always, let's get the latest news headlines read by Amy Griffiths. No, it's not. It's Siobhan Fletcher.
Pastor Mike Christian. It's hoped face-to-face talks between the Department of Infrastructure and the union representing striking bus drivers could take place tomorrow. Members of Unite the Union are about to enter their third round of industrial action in a long-running dispute with Bus Vanin over pay and conditions. Manx singer and actress Samantha Barks has renewed calls for people to oppose the Moore Vanin offshore wind farm project. Speaking to her 230,000 Instagram followers, the star from Laxey shared a link to a new petition against the development. Manx Utilities says this morning's flood in Castle Street in Douglas was not linked to problems with the sewerage system. Hundreds of gallons of brown, pungent-smelling water affected parts of the street at around 10:30. And a yellow weather warning will come into force overnight for ice and wintry showers. Ronald Way Met Office's warning will come into effect at midnight and remain in place until 3 p.m. tomorrow. Further afield, Iran's new supreme leaders said he'll keep attacking neighbouring countries which have US bases. Meanwhile, RAC figures show unleaded's up by more than 7 pence a litre since the end of February, whilst diesel has jumped almost 16p. Downing Street denies there was a cover-up in the release of files related to the appointment of Lord Mandelson as Britain's ambassador to the US. And John Lewis workers are getting a bonus for the first time since 2022. They'll get 2% of their salary. There are your headlines. I'll have your news in full at 6.
Kurumai, thank you very much for that. Siobhan, not Amy. Thank you. Right, let's take a look at the weather now, brought to you by Manx Glass and Glazing. Of course, there is the yellow alert in place for ice and wintry showers coming into effect from midnight until 3 tomorrow afternoon. This evening, though, a few showers to be expected. Clear spells then developing overnight with a risk of ice on higher ground. Strong west or southwest winds increasing strong to gale force overnight and a minimum temperature of between 1 and 3 degrees C.
Manx Glass and Glazing are proud to be celebrating 40 years serving the Isle of Man's glazing needs. Visit the showroom on the Snugbury Trading Estate. You're listening to the Isle of Man's quintessential daily news and current affairs roundup. Update on Manx Radio.
3 minutes past five, a woman living with severe endometriosis on the island says the condition has left her battling chronic pain for nearly two decades. 31-year-old Chloe Love says the illness affects almost every aspect of her life, often leaving her exhausted, just trying to get through the working week. Now, endometriosis affects around 1 in 10 women, 10%, according to the World Health Organization. And this isn't the first time we've spoken to Chloe either. She's come back to Manx Radio for the past 3 years, each time during Endometriosis Awareness Month, March. The last time we spoke to her in 2025, she was on the cusp of considering whether to go private in the hopes of getting things sorted. She's now told us she went ahead with that and spent her life savings getting private treatment because she felt she wasn't getting the answers she needed. I sat down with her to talk about her experience thus far.
All I do is make sure that I can get to work and then be at work and manage to some level, and then make sure I can get home safely, and then I basically crash out and have to rest and sleep and then do the same. And then the weekend is wiped out by having to rest up and then do the same and repeat.
And when we last spoke, you'd already been through surgery. You've since gone through another surgery.
Yes.
At the time we spoke to you last time, you were still very much searching for answers.
Yeah.
Where are things now for you?
After I've had the recent scan done here, it would seem that despite the surgery that I had done in May last year, I'm back to where I was when I spoke to you last, a year ago. So although I had excision surgery done in London with one of the leading specialists in the UK.
And that was private?
That was private, yeah. Which used all of my savings. And I haven't been able to repay it currently with the cost of living. After I spoke to you last, I did go and get a scan done privately, which showed suspected endometriosis. And at the same time, I had one of the gynaecologists on the Isle of Man tell me I didn't have endometriosis, so they would have to basically do another diagnostic laparoscopy, but they couldn't give me a time frame because of theatre restrictions on waiting lists or something. There was some delay at the time.
Let's talk a bit more about your private treatment. What led to you making that decision to spend all your savings to go private?
It was the phone call that I had from the Isle of Man gynaecologist telling me that I didn't have endometriosis that made me think, I can't live like this. Keep having to fight for somebody to listen to me and advocate for me. Because although she went from saying in February last year that I did have it, I had adenomyosis, I had chronic pelvic pain, you name it, I had it. But then off the back of one MRI, which we all know is as good as the equipment and the person reading it and the person doing the report, that came back as fine. But they're subjective. And if we don't have an endometriosis specialist who can assess the results on the report, then it can be missed. And it's quite often known that superficial endometriosis, such as adhesions, doesn't show on any scan. It can only be found once you're performing the surgery, which was what happened in my case.
And you've spoken about how you just want to be listened to.
Yeah.
I mean, how emotionally difficult is that to find yourself in that position?
It has been very draining. Currently, right now, I feel really worn down by the whole situation. I've tried to go through MCALs to make a complaint about my treatment last year, or lack of treatment that I received with the revoking of the diagnosis. Especially now I've got surgery footage to prove that I had it in five places. 20 minutes worth of surgery footage, the report, histology report, I've got all of the proof to show that I was right and the Isle of Man gynaecologist at the time was wrong.
What would your message be to Manx Care? Because naturally we will go to Manx Care with this interview. We'll ask them some questions, but the most likely response they'll send back to us is they don't comment on individual cases. Well, what is your message to Manx Care?
Please listen to people who take the time to tell you their story and let you know of their experience, because we don't want to be going through any of this. The amount of time, you know, time to, I get the impression that time to Manx Care doesn't mean anything. You know, the amount of years of experiences that I have lost. I've lost jobs, I've lost relationships, you name it, I've probably lost it at this point, and that doesn't seem to count for anything.
Well, Manx Radio did approach Manx Care for a comment, and a spokesperson has told us that the health body cannot comment on individual cases, but says concerns raised through its advice and liaison service are taken seriously, and it's committed to improving care for women with conditions such as endometriosis.
You're listening to the Isle of Man's quintessential daily news and current affairs roundup. Update on Manx Radio.
Now, Manx Utility says this morning's flood in Castle Street, Douglas, was not linked to problems with the sewerage system. Simon Richardson joins me now. Simon, if it wasn't the sewers, then what was it?
Well, Christian, as reported and posted many times on social media, hundreds of gallons of brown, pungent-smelling water affected parts of the street at around 10:30. Well, Manx Utilities teams attended and they found the problem to be blocked gullies.
So do we know what actually happened then?
Well, the Manx Utilities team set to and cleared the problem.
So if it wasn't sewage, thankfully, then why did it smell so bad?
Well, according to Manx Utilities, it was decomposing materials within the blocked gullies. And just for the record, they told us it wasn't really their job to clean them, as they are this responsibility of Douglas City Council.
All right, Simon, thank you very much for that. Well, we'll stick with Douglas City Council because back in December, the Department of Infrastructure announced plans for a new funding mechanism for social housing. From April, local authorities have been given the option of applying an additional 1% charge to help fund future housing projects. The proposal has split opinion among commissioners across the island, some boards choosing to introduce it, others opting not to. The leader of Douglas Council, Devon Watson, says the authority will use the charge to boost maintenance budgets and invest further in its housing stock. Our local Democracy reporter, Emma Draper, has been speaking with him.
One of the reasons why we're doing this is because it allows us to really invest in maintenance, improving property, and also in constructing new property at the end of the day. This still allows social housing to be extremely affordable compared to the private sector market, while also over the next 10, 15, 20 years, reducing down that cost and reliance on the taxpayer, because ultimately we want to move to a world where social housing is entirely self-funding and any government support will primarily come for major investment schemes so that social housing has a capacity to wash its face while also providing a really long-term affordable rent to the tenants to make sure that we can really help people in this cost of living crisis.
It's quite a split decision for local authorities who have social housing about whether or not to introduce this. Ramsey commissioners, they are not using the 1% charge because they said it's going to create a postcode lottery. What do you think of that statement, and do you agree with it or do you disagree with that?
I think that different commissioners have different needs, but depending where they are. Our core job at the end of the day here is to fight and tackle and end the housing crisis. And we can only do that by building, and we can only build if we've got the funds to build. So what this does is it gives the ability to build new social housing, but this is also really great for tenants, because at the same time is if there's a greater diversity of property, people who want to do transfers, people who want to downsize now have the capacity to do that. We've just opened the James Brown apartments, which are phenomenal, and we want to build 3, 4, 5, 6 of these new buildings, and we want to be able to do this with a much reduced reliance on the taxpayer. And yes, this means so that things will be different among different local authorities, but different towns have different characters and different towns and cities have different needs for their people, and we're trying to meet the needs of our people in Douglas in the best way possible.
What do you make of the new change? Obviously, this isn't something you've been able to do before. It's always been set by the DOI. So what do you think of the flexibility they've given you and the other housing authorities to make your own rent?
Your budget is essentially a reflection of your values. And one of our core values here is we want to build our way out of the crisis. We can't wait for government to save us, because ultimately we have to save ourselves.
Leader of Douglas Council, Devon Watson. Now, it's hoped face-to-face talks between the Department of Infrastructure and the union representing striking bus drivers could take place tomorrow. Members of the Unite Union are about to enter their third round of industrial action in a long-running dispute with Bus Fanning over pay and conditions. The DOI insists it's committed to negotiating a mutually acceptable settlement and that representatives of Bus Fanning have attended all scheduled negotiations and have not imposed any preconditions on participation. But Regional Officer for the Isle of Man branch of Unite, Debbie Holsell, says they're yet to have any face-to-face meeting with the employer.
Still the same place. No face-to-face meetings, but we do have a planned meeting for tomorrow in Manx Industrial Relations, and hopefully the department will be sitting in there.
So is that, in theory, going to be face-to-face with the Department of Infrastructure?
I hope so, yeah. Yeah, I do.
Because has the union been invited to any face-to-face meetings? I mean, you say that there have been none since before the 10-day strike, but have you been invited to any?
We've never sat in a room since December of 2025 with the department.
But have you been invited to?
No. We've sat here, we've had phone calls from Manx Industrial Relations with offers, we've had letters or emails, exchanges, but there has been no face-to-face meetings, irrespective of what they say. One of the things that we're seeing is we're standing where we stand. They need to come to a table. They need to have the discussion. Until that happens, there's no more the comments to be made. I just don't understand how they can keep putting out this rhetoric and saying, oh, another offer, when I've never seen one of them sitting in a room with us, with me or our representatives.
But hopefully that could change tomorrow. How hopeful are you that if you're able to meet in a room face to face, that both parties might be able to come to a mutually agreeable position and this strike action end?
Could be. Absolutely could be. Let's see what they put on the table. I can't do a what if and could be because I can't and I won't. I can't preempt anything. They have to come with some meaningful offer. Sit down at a table and let's have a conversation as grown adults.
That's the regional officer for Unite, Debbie Halsall, speaking there. And the Department of Infrastructure has been invited to respond, but has confirmed its representatives are planning to attend the meeting. Let's take a look at the travel now.
Manx Radio Travel, serviced by Quayside Tyres.
Right, quite a lot to get through. The Old Castletown Road is closed at the Whitehoe for work at the wastewater pumping station, and access to and from Douglas is via Quarterbridge, so you can expect traffic to be quite busy on the diversion routes. In Braddon, we've got temporary lights on Cool Road near the Business Park, also temporary lights on Braddon Road, just up from Braddon Bridge. In Peel, there are temporary lights at the top of Derby Road between the swimming pool and the Ballaquane Road for gas main works. Over in Castletown, temporary lights between KWC and the airport for water main works. Also in Castletown, temporary lights on Maloo Road near the Great Meadow for wall repairs. Over at the steam packet, not so great on the ferry front. A majority of today's sailings were cancelled due to the poor weather conditions. However, this evening's 7:15 Douglas to Heysham looks like it will be going ahead. Tomorrow is also looking like everything is back to normal. Down at the airport on the arrivals boards, the 450 Aer Lingus from Dublin delayed, not due in until 6:15. On the departures board, similarly, the 520 Aer Lingus back to Dublin naturally delayed too, not due to be on the runway until 6:10. Also a minor delay on the 720 EasyJet to Gatwick, only by 15 minutes though.
Manx Radio Travel, driven by
Quayside. Quayside, 664417.
Head to Quayside Tyres and Service Centre on South Quay Industrial Estate.
Quayside.
You're listening to the Isle of Man's quintessential daily news and current affairs roundup. Update on Manx Radio.
Approaching 18 minutes past five, the government says it's holding discussions with authorities in Northern Ireland about who and who can't fish in Manx territorial waters. You may have heard us talking about this on Update yesterday, those concerns that have been raised by the fishing industry. Well, Lewis Foster has the latest.
The Isle of Man made headlines in papers across the Irish Sea last month with claims the Manx government had banned trawlers from Northern Ireland from fishing the waters that lie within 12 miles of our coastline. Changes, it said, meant that foreign crew members from outside the island who hold UK skilled worker or transit visas would no longer be permitted to fish these waters. The Northern Ireland Fish Producers Organisation estimates this would impact on over two-thirds of employees on their boats. Their chief executive, Dr. Lynn Gilmore, told Manx Radio they would be speaking with government officials here to try to reverse the decision.
We have certainly reached out and are keen to discuss this with Isle of Man government, but have not yet heard back on whether that might be possible.
Well, on Ireland, a local food producer says working restrictions implemented by the island's immigration service could be disastrous, especially when it comes to one of the most iconic of Manx dishes, Queenies. The manager of Isle of Man Seafood Products, William Cayley, says it's crucial a solution is found.
Something's changed and everyone wants Queenies, and it's not a normal thing, but the demand for Queenies this year is through the roof. So if all of a sudden we aren't in the poised position to deal with the start of this Queenie season, we're missing a massive chance.
Well, in response, a government spokesperson says while the Isle of Man government is aware of concern raised among the Irish Sea fishing community, there have been no recent changes to the Isle of Man's visa or immigration requirements for foreign nationals working in the island's waters. The compliance activity around this position has not changed, and there are no immediate plans to make any changes. So what is the position? Well, the spokesperson says those who do not hold either British or Irish citizenship are required to obtain a valid immigration permission before engaging in employment within the Isle of Man's territorial waters. This includes securing appropriate entry clearance under the established worker migrant visa framework, supported by a confirmation of employment issued by an Isle of Man employer. The Isle of Man government, it says, is mindful of the operational challenges this presents for parts of the fishing sector, including those vessels that have traditionally fished in Manx waters under long-standing arrangements, and discussions with the relevant Northern Ireland authorities are underway. The spokesperson says this process aims to support a clear and workable approach going forward, and one that provides certainty for vessel operators while upholding the respective legislative requirements.
Lewis Foster there with that report. 20 minutes past five. A teenage mental health champion is set to give a talk later this month about how caring for snakes and other unusual pets has helped improve his well-being. 17-year-old Jesse Quirk lives with ADHD, autism and severe social anxiety, alongside other mental health challenges. On the 24th of March, he'll be speaking at the Erin Arts Centre in Port Erin about how his four snakes have become a positive force in his life, as he's been explaining to Siobhan Fletcher.
So I have three Western hognose and a corn snake. I have a giant African millipede, two Phyllium leaf insects, and two types of praying mantis.
The reaction I had there, you said millipedes, I was like, oh no. Do you get that reaction often?
When, a lot, yeah.
Yeah. Why those sorts of pets? Why not kind of like a dog?
I have a dog and a cat and a horse as well.
Okay.
So I have a whole range of animals. I just fell in love with animals that didn't get as much attention as everyone else. Everyone loves cats and dogs, but it takes special people to love animals that look weird. I just think it's really interesting how many people are scared of them as well. And I want to be able to share my experience and how they're actually not scary, but wonderful creatures.
How much specialist care then goes into looking after these animals?
I feed mine at certain times in the day, as well as they need specific lighting and heating requirements. And special vivariums as well, which is what they're housed in. There's quite a lot of specialised care to begin with. Once you get set into a routine, it's fairly simple.
What was the first one you got? And was it that idea that you wanted to get pets that weren't traditionally the first choice?
Yeah. Growing up, I always felt out of place and I never really fit in. So I was always drawn towards any animal that wasn't classified as normal. That could be a horse who had had a bad past and he wasn't just a standard horse that you could go on and ride, you had to do special work with. I previously worked at the Man Cat Sanctuary. Some of the blind cats in there I used to spend a lot of time with. Just growing up, I've always been drawn to animals that don't get enough attention. So my friend got a corn snake in year five and I fell in love with it, and then years and years later, I did loads of research and paid for my own, and I got my Western hognose called Chihiro.
I love this. And so obviously the focus of the talk is the fact that you yourself have ADHD, autism and severe social anxiety. Not that you'd be able to tell right now how confident you're talking to me, and the impact that keeping these pets is having on you. So can you shine a little light on, like, yeah, what it means for you then, you know, separate to looking after these animals?
Yeah, I found it very hard to keep myself motivated to stay alive for a massive period of my life. It still continues now, but it's not as severe. And these animals and having something that relies on me, and something so unique as well that not everyone can say they have, it was a massive protective factor for me to keep pushing myself to fight what's been going on. Also express myself as well, because I still do as well, I take my snakes down to the shop with me. They sit in my pocket or we go for walks together. I take them out onto grassy areas that I know have no pesticides and stuff. They go everywhere with me. One came to visit me when I was away in a hospital.
Wow.
So he came on the boat with my dad, which was really lovely. And that gave me a massive push of motivation to get home.
Well, that's 17-year-old Jesse Quirk there speaking to Siobhan Fletcher. And if you are interested in attending that talk, all the details are available at manxradio.com. OK, sport up next.
Have you got your Manx Radio Gold open and closed door sign on display? If you put the sign in the entrance of your business, you could win 3 months of free advertising on Manx Radio Gold in 2026. Need a door sign? Email sales@manxradio.com and we'll get one straight to you. And if your door sign is already up, send us a photo and we'll put your business into the prize draw. Manx Radio Gold is the perfect soundtrack for your workplace, with fewer interruptions and only the greatest hits on earth. On your smart speaker and at gold.manxradio.com.
Manx Radio Gold.
Okay, let's take a look at the latest sports brought to you by The Print Shed. Darren Timpson's here. Fastamai, Darren, what can you tell us?
Yeah, Fastamai, starting with some TT news, Manx rider Michael Evans will be staying with Dafabet Racing after a strong first year in 2025. Evans will compete the RST Superbike, both RL360 Superstock races and the Milwaukee Senior TT aboard a Honda CBR1000RR Fireblade SP. His team will also return to the Monster Energy Supersport class, which will see Evans ride a Triumph Street Triple 760. RS. 2026 marks Evans's 10th year on the mountain cars and 8 years in a TT where he has claimed multiple top 10 finishes. On the extension, Evans said, after a strong first season together, I'm delighted to be continuing with Dafabet Racing and preparation is firmly underway with pre-season testing already taking place in Spain. I'm looking forward to building on the strong results we achieved, especially after joining the 130 mph club in 2025. On to boxing, WBC belt holder Sam Rennie will be looking to add to his trophy cabinet tomorrow. The marksman is set to compete for the Australian National Boxing Federation Australasian Super Featherweight Championship. Rennie, who remains unbeaten in the ring, will face Fijian Shamil Ram Aung in Northbridge, Australia. He currently holds the WBC Australasia Silver Superweight Featherweight title. On to cycling, where Max Walker has been competing in the Paris-Nice. Today saw the marksman complete Stage 5 from Comarange-sur-Saône to Colombier-les-Vaux, where he finished 83rd. Walker's currently 52nd in the general classification, which is led by Tour de France winner Jonas Vingegaard. His best finish so far came in a team trial on Tuesday, where he finished 6th alongside his EF Education EasyPost teammates. 3 stages are left in the competition, which concludes on Sunday. And in athletics, registration for the Easter Festival of Running closes this Sunday. The event sees runners from the island and UK compete over 3 days. It starts with a 10k race in Portare on Good Friday, followed by a hill run in Peel on Saturday and a 5k run along the Prom on Easter Sunday. Over 700 competitors attended last year, with similar numbers expected early next month.
Gurumai, thank you very much for that. Darren, will you be competing in the Easter Festival of Running?
No, probably not.
No, you'll be at home.
I imagine you will be though, Christian.
Oh, you know me. Well, that's it for Update this evening. Thanks very much to newsreader Siobhan Fletcher. Up next, Island Life, Chris Kinley straight after with the greatest hits. Morris Powell has a little light music from 9, then Rian Evans in the hot seat from 10 with After Hours. I'll catch up with you tomorrow. So until then, take care. Bye-bye for now.